Hi, this is Tom with Streets of America Homeless Outreach Ministry and Buford Lighthouse Mission in the Works. And as we always say, Buford Lighthouse Mission is in the works. It's going to be a tiny house community for our homeless. Try to get a hands up to them, not just a handout, but a hands up, get them back in the workforce, get them out there to try to make something of themselves to be proud of. I'm not talking about pride that goes before destruction, a haughty spirit that goes before fall. I'm talking about that very pride of knowing that you've accomplished something and you've done it. You've done it with some dignity, honestly, and you've earned it. So that's what we need to work within our homeless, along with mainly getting them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're back here for our Bible study, and it's going to be concerning communications. Now, we were talking about Christian behavior, and when we talk about the Christian behavior, we have to realize the fact is that Christians don't behave like they ought to. Today's Christians don't understand what real behavior is. And I really blame that a lot on either they're not reading their Bible or their pastor's not teaching them like he should, because he's probably not reading his Bible. So there's things that play into the effect of why our Christians are not living and learning and behaving. So with Christian behavior, you got to realize the fact is that you will be accountable. You will. So, and to understand that the first point that we dealt with was Christian and our Christian behavior was the conduct. And we went through the conduct and all of that in the first point. But the second point we're going to deal with, it's going to be the communications. Because those play hand in hand. Your communications will affect your conduct. You don't realize it or not. You sit behind that TV long enough, you're going to be talking like Hollywood. You're going to be using the same language they use. You're going to be acting just like they do. You're going to wear the same kind of clothes. You're going to look like Hollywood. And you're going to act like, if Hollywood's putting on a film on a bunch of gangsters, you're going to act like a gangster. If you're a bunch of rednecks, you're going to act like a redneck. Whatever you program your mind into, that's why those things are called programs. You know, oh, what program are we going to watch on TV today? This program, because it's going to program you to act just like they are. That's where all that stuff, why do you think things become so popular now? One guy will start wearing his pants down below his buttocks and everything else like that. And you know what they do? They go, oh, that's cool, man. I'm going to do that. They've been doing that in the prison. You know, they advertise in the, that's nothing but advertisement in the prison system about, hey, I'm available. And you better watch that. You don't be dressing like Hollywood. Don't be ignorant on that stuff. Christian behavior, conduct. But the thing about we're going to deal with now is going to be, it's going to do with your communications. Okay? Now, Christians, don't be ignorant. Don't try to act like the world and be in the world and all that stuff. Now, you are in the world, but you're not to be of the world. We don't have to act like the world. And you don't have to act like Hollywood and you're all out of the mess. Dress like you're supposed to. There's nothing wrong with dressing nice and things like that, but man, don't put on all the bling and all that stuff and go around and say, hey, yeah, man, I'm thinking about Jesus. And forget all that, man. Don't be doing that. Don't do that. You say, well, I do that so I can reach certain people. Don't do that. Be real. Be who you are. If you're a Christian, act like one. Let the words that come out of your mouth be words of Christ. Not words of Hollywood and the world. Now we're going to get into that. Communications. We're going to deal with communications right after the intro. Start dealing with this, we're going to deal with communications. And communications has to do with reaching somebody or somebody reaching you. It has to do with dealing with each other. It has to do with where you put yourself. Now, whether it be in physical body or whether it be with your eyes or with your ears, it's being in that place and communicating. And through that communication will do one or two things. It'll either make you or break you. It'll either make you be a better Christian or a better heathen. That's just plain fact. Now, what you need to understand here, we're going to deal with communication. And I want you to take your Bible. If you got your Bible, if you ain't got your Bible, I'm going to give you a minute to run into the bedroom or get it off the shelf and blow the dust off of it. Get you a rag and wipe it off. You probably hadn't opened it in a while. But go ahead and do that. And when you do that, what we're going to do, we're going to get into the Word of God here. And I'm going to show you a few things that I hope will be a blessing. I'm not trying to be mean and all that stuff, but the thing about it is, Christians, listen to me. You need to behave right. You need to do right. And let's quit saying we're a Christian and act like the world. Too many folks say it. Everybody I talk to homeless folks on the streets, you know, and they just got done drinking a six pack and a fifth of liquor. And now they swear up and down, they're saved, they're going to heaven, they love God and all this and all that. But yet they do those things that are contrary to the Word of God. If you're doing things contrary to the Word of God, you're telling God, hey, I ain't got to listen to what you got to say. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you act like the world. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you still got your old habits. I'd rather think that you were lost than you were saved. Because when you say you're saved and you're going around doing that stuff, you bring a reproach on the Lord. You put a bad name on him, and then everybody else, then you start sending people to hell. Why? Because they go, hey, man, if he's my dad, man, I'm all right. There ain't nothing wrong with me because I just drink a couple beers now and then. You know, I might drink me a fifth of liquor and stuff like that. I ain't nothing wrong with that. And next thing you know, about two or three bad words come out of the mouth. And it's like, sorry, preacher. You know, when I get folks that do that, and they cuss and stuff like that, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, preacher. I'm sorry, preacher. And I tell them, don't worry about it. The Lord heard you a whole lot clearer than I did. And not only that, he's the one that mostly counts. So, don't think you're bothering me. I mean, sure. I mean, I unfortunately, dealing with homeless and dealing with lost people, I constantly have to hear those nasty languages and stuff. And a lot of times I have respect. And they'll try not to use the language because they know I'm a preacher. But sometimes they go, oh. And who? You know, I like the ones that go, oh, excuse my French. And I tell them, they sound like English to me. I ain't know about no French, but I sound like just old American nasty mouth English. So, why do they have that? Why are people like that? Because of the communications, because of where they're hanging out, because of what they're doing, because they're not reading. If you're a Christian and you talk like that, and you got all that stuff, you ain't reading your Bible. You ain't seeing what God tells you to do. And we as Christians, our behavior is very important. And remember, I dealt with conduct. Now I'm dealing with communications, because your communications will corrupt that conduct. All right? Now watch this. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 14. All right? Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 it says, be ye not. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. All right? Now, it says not to be unequally yoked. So I believe that's plainly showing you that there's something not balanced right when it comes to believers and unbelievers. If you a Christian and you're hanging with them, there's something not right. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together. Alright? So the yoke ain't the same. You know, if you get two animals, if you get your oxen together and you say, well, okay, I got a good ox over here and then I got a good mule here, and you put that ox in that yoke, you got a double yoke, and you put one ox in that yoke, it goes around the neck, it goes around there, and and then the other one to be around that mule's neck. Well, the mule may be a little higher than the ox, and the ox will be a little stronger than the mule. And those two together are not equally yoked, and when they try to work together, and they try to communicate, and they try to do things together, it's a battle. You can't do that. You can't be unequally yoked. You as Christians cannot be unequally yoked with the world that has a nasty mouth unless you start to develop a nasty mouth. Your communications, you start getting with the world starts teaching you some things that you already knew, because as a Christian, now you have gotten away from the old world and gotten into the language of God, the language of the Lord, the Word of God here, and you're trying to stay away from the language and the world and the things of the world and try to be better and not yoked up with that stuff. All right? And so it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hear that? If you're hanging around a bunch of unbelievers, you say, well, I got to go to work and I got to work around them. Now, that's understandable. And I have no problem with that, because you have to. You have to be, but you don't have to be yoked up with them. You just work with them. And then when you leave, you go home. You don't call them and say, hey, bud, I'm coming over and you break open the six pack, we're going to come in. No. And the workers at your work, I know you're a Christian, they're not going to say, hey, you do anything, I'm cool, I'll bring a six pack, we'll watch the football game. You got to set examples. Your communication, they got to know that, hey, you ain't bringing no beer over my house and we ain't watching no football game. Now, if you got folks who come over to watch the football game, I ain't got nothing against football. You want to watch football, but the thing you got to watch for is who comes over and who you have coming over and just how carnal the football game can get. So you got to be careful. Even in that kind of stuff, you got to be careful. But it says here, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It says, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communication hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now you see that. Now, we're not to be unequally yoked with the world. Not only that, you better watch this. He says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? He says, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. All right, now watch that. He said, I will dwell in them. I mean, if you're a Christian, God's dwelling in you. He said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in you if you're a Christian. I am going to dwell in you, and I'm going to walk in you. In other words, I'm going to walk with you in fellowship. We are going to be together as one, walking together in fellowship. And what you see, I see. What you say, I hear. Now, it's not my mouth, but we're together in fellowship. And so what you see, I see. What you hear, I hear. So God is, if Christ is in you, God is in you, you got to realize is what you're looking at, what you're watching and what you're hearing and who you're communicating with. You want God to see that because you're showing it to him. And then all of a sudden later on you go, oh God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. God knows your heart. God knows you had the intention to do it to start out with. All right? But you got to realize that you're showing God these things. Everything you do, all the things you think, all that. He says, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Watch what he says here now. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hey, you're a people of God. God's walking in you. God's walking with you. God is there. Now, how's your communications? What are you doing? Are you behaving right? Are you doing right? Watch what it says here. Look, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33. Now watch what it says. It says, be not deceived. God don't want you to be deceived. God don't want you to be misled. God wants you to understand. What's this? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now I know the other versions say things like evil communications corrupt good morals. And I can go along with that. That's not what my King James Bible says. But it says evil communications corrupt good manners. And he says in verse number 34, he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. He said, wake up. Wake up. Your communications, you don't even realize where you're at. You don't even understand what you're doing. Wake up. I say something. I want you to know something right now. Wake up. Because why? He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. You know what the last words are here? I speak this to your shame. Do you know why the communications are bad with the Christians? Because they ain't reading their Bible. They're not reading what God has for them to do and how for them to act and what should be on their mind. Think about that. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15. Take your Bible to 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all is in the world. Watch this now. He said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I am somebody. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You're going to find every sin that is in this world, every sin the Bible talks about, is associated with one of those. Either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. If you're committing sin, you're committing sin because of one of those. Now watch what else he says here. Now he finishes this off. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Watch this. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm fixing to say here. And the world passeth away. One day it's going to be gone. Y'all listen to me. It's going to be gone. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. How about that? The world's going to be gone. All that lust of the eyes and all that stuff, it's going to be gone. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now when it says it's going to be gone, that means it's going to be gone. It ain't going to be gone to a good place. But he says here, he says, but he that doeth the will of God, what is the will of God? He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is God's will for your life? You don't have no idea. You've got no answer. You say, well, God's will for my life is go out and make lots of money and help people. There ain't nothing wrong with making money. There ain't nothing wrong with helping people. But that ain't Is that really God's will for your life? Honestly, really, really, according to what the Bible says? I mean, honestly. You know, God wants us to go out and preach the word. God wants us to go out and tell people about Him. God wants us to evangelize. You say, well, I ain't no preacher. Yes, you are. I know that hurt some of your ears. When you became a Christian, you became a preacher. Now, I'm not talking about a pastor, an evangelist, and all that. I'm not talking about that. But when you got saved, you automatically became a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. A witness. If you're going to preach, and that's what you're doing, you're going to preach. You're going to preach that word. You're going to share that word. Sometimes I hate that word, share, but that's what you're going to do. You're going to give it to somebody. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Because this world is dying. The people in this world are dying and going to hell. And the only light they're going to see, as I mentioned before in the first point, about let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The only light they're going to see is going to be through you as a Christian. And by what you can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can go to heaven. Not how they can prosper in the world. You know, you can't lose with the stuff I use. God is money. God is this. You know, that prosperity gospel stuff don't click. Because the world is going to be gone. You hear me? All the riches and all that stuff that you accumulate here on earth are going to be gone. Gone. And the world passes away. Now, let me tell you something. They ain't going to be... Hey, look. Don't wait for the hearse to bring you to church. There ain't going to be no U-Haul behind that hearse. Okay? I remember the story of this fella. And I got more I'd like to say. I'll give you this story. And there was this rich man. This was a man, I mean, he had worked hard all his life. That's all his mind was on was work. And he worked and he worked and he worked and he worked and he worked. And finally, and he never paid much attention to his wife, always gave her a hard time because all his mind was work, 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 work. But he wanted to make sure she had some stuff and all that stuff. But it was, he told her, he said, when I die, I want to be buried with all my money. In other words, I ain't leaving none behind. I want it all in the, when you put me in that casket, in that grave, I want you to give me, I want all my money to be in there. And so as a loving wife, she did exactly what he said. She made sure the bank knew that he wanted to be buried with all of his money. And so when he finally died and all, the wife was faithful enough to grab her checkbook and write him a check and drop it in the casket. So she dropped that check right up in the casket. And he went to wherever his rewards were. Unfortunately, there weren't any banks for him to cash the check. You see, you got to understand, you ain't taking it with you. You can work hard and all that stuff. You better be setting up for somebody to manage it for you and to do something good with it. You know, you say, well, I'm going to leave all my millions and trillions of stuff to my kids and all that stuff. And then you'll destroy your family. You'll destroy your children because they won't know how to handle that kind of money. Put it in a trust, allow them so much, and you can do that, and that'd be fine. But don't give it to them to destroy themselves. You know, give it to them a little bit at a time with the stipulations that, hey, and I'm going to give you extra to do good with, to donate towards charities and things like that. Lay down some examples that they can follow. And don't get them to be covetous and just lovers of money. More than lovers of God. Let them see your example. But that's the world we live in. Let me give you this verse of scripture real quick, and we're going to close. It says here, take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11, watch what it says. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. There's a battle. Fleshly lust. It said, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul. There's a battle there. This world is tough for you as a Christian, I know, to abstain and to stay away. It's tough for Christians, but you gotta do it. Quit trying to bring the world into your worship. I've seen too many churches going that route to where they're starting to bring the world in, all the worldly music and things like that, and saying, hey, well, we don't worship the way they do. We don't worship the way the world does. The world does this and the world does. No, you are bringing that into the church, which it ought not be. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest, your communications honest, your conversation honest, honest among the Gentiles. And if you remember, this is Peter. And who is Peter? Peter is the apostle to who? Peter is the apostle to the Jews. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. So watch what Peter says here. He says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. Now when you start getting the world to start speaking against you as a Christian because your conversation, your conduct is wrong, your behavior is wrong, you better be double checking on why they're saying that. Is what they're saying true, or is what they're saying a falsehood? Are they liars trying to bring accusation falsely? Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let me tell you something. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. Hey, in the day of visitation, you'll be amazed the people that might want to get saved or might want whatever that is that's in you as a Christian. They might want that. They might desire that. They'll say, hey, man, I don't know what he's got. He's got something that I'd love to have that, man. I think if I got that, something like that, I think I could live better. Me and my wife could have a better communication. Me and my family could be closer together. Me and my family would not be fighting all the time and the kids running off and all the stuff and all the battles I face. Whatever that guy's got, I'd like to find out what he's got. You'll be amazed how many people might want what you've got if you'll just communicate it. If you'll communicate it as God would have you to. Letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Having that light to shine, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. All through here, the scriptures that I gave to you, meditate on those. Watch your behavior. Do something for God. And I'm going to stop there. This is Preacher Tom Anderson, Streets American Homes Outreach Ministry, and also Buford Lighthouse Mission in the Works. I'm glad you listened. I hope I didn't offend you. I didn't try to. But as Christians, why don't we behave right? Next time, as we have dealt with the conduct and the communications, next time we're going to deal with the consequences. So, this is Preacher Tom Anderson. And I am so glad you were here. And until next time, Lord bless you. Thank you.